Hello, I'm Tamsin Wheatley. Welcome to this bonus episode of Folklore. I wanted to share with you this email I received from one of my listeners. Dear Tamsin Wheatley, I'm a big fan of the show. I discovered the podcast and have been an avid listener ever since. I'm hooked and I can't wait to find out where it's all going. I personally was never much of a believer in the supernatural, and I used to ridicule my mum, who would always tell me stories of staying at her aunt's house and hearing the sound of children playing in the garden. To me, it has always been total nonsense, until I experienced it for myself. I thought you might be interested in my story, so here it is. My mum's auntie lives in Wales, in this old house on the coast. As I already mentioned, my mum claimed when she was a kid she would stay there and hear the sounds of children playing in the garden, but that is far from the only spooky story to come from the place. When her auntie and uncle moved in, there was a fireplace in the front room that let in a draft, so they decided to have it removed and filled in. When the fireplace itself was pulled out, they discovered a date etched into the wall, 250888. The fireplace was probably around 30 years old at that point, and this was back in the early 80s, so it wasn't a date that referenced anything recent. I believe the assumption was that it was likely a serial number or something, rather than an actual date. That is, until the 25th of August 1988 came around. The uncle, who by all accounts was a fairly active and healthy chap, suffered a stroke that morning, and remained in a wheelchair until he died a few years ago now. Of course, no one would ever know for sure, but there has always been something deeply upsetting about this. The horrid coincidence of it. What did it mean? Anyway, alongside that, my mum's auntie would claim that her Toby jugs, those jugs you get with faces on them, would always be turned around so that the faces would be toward the wall. No matter how many times she turned them the other way, every morning, without fail, they'd be back toward the wall. And then there's my story, which I feel I need to tell in two parts. We went to the house for my mum's uncle's funeral. The first night we were there, the night before the funeral, my brother and I had to sleep in the front room, the one with the fireplace, and I just couldn't sleep. Although I never believed in anything supernatural, once we got to the house, I was overcome with this weird sensation, like someone had walked over my grave. And that slight tingle you get along your back when you have that feeling seemed to persist for the entire duration of my stay. I just couldn't sleep that night, and I lay awake on the blow-up bed in the front room listening to my brother snore, terrified that something was going to jump out at me, or that a face would suddenly appear at my feet or above my head. Nothing happened, but for the first time in my life I experienced a really strange moment. It was near 3 in the morning, and as I lay there I blinked, and then it was day. The entire room seemed to change in that fraction of a second it took me to blink. From moonlight to daylight, in an instant. I have never had anything like that happen to me before or since, and while by all accounts I was asleep and had simply woken up, it felt discomforting to say the least. It put me on edge and made me feel even more unsure about spending yet another night in that house, which I would need to do. We attended the funeral and the wake, and then we returned to the house and everyone had a drink, not my brother and I, before it was time to go to sleep again. This time I was even more on edge, terrified that I would either blink and the night would be gone once more, or that this weird blinking sensation I had felt was just a precursor to something all the more horrifying. As it turns out, the latter was correct. I lay there talking to my brother for as long as I could, desperate for him not to go to sleep, but my pride denied me the ability to admit that I was afraid. Eventually he got annoyed with me, rolled over and drifted off, leaving me alone in this room, listening to all the noises the house had made. This next bit is going to sound made up, and I have only my word to assure you that it is true. I was laid on the blow-up bed, trying to focus on my breathing, when I heard the door of the room creak open. It was on the side of the room, opposite to the way I was facing, so I had to twist myself around to look, and sure enough, it was open just slightly. I couldn't see beyond it because of the darkness of the shadows, but then I heard footsteps crossing the room. I began to sweat and panic, because as I looked around the room I could see no one, despite the sound being as clear as if someone was there walking around my brother and I. My brother remained fast asleep, totally unaware of what was going on, and in a panic I tried to sit up to wake him. As I moved my body upward I felt a shove on my chest pushing me back down, and then the unmistakable sensation of someone climbing atop me and straddling me. I tried to cry out, but in that moment I couldn't make a sound, and I found myself almost frozen with fear. I could see with my own eyes that there was no one there, and yet I could feel, without a shadow of a doubt, that there was a person on top of me. Their hands pressed down on my shoulders and their legs clamped tight around my waist. If this wasn't enough, I was suddenly aware of a warm sensation spreading across me, almost as though someone was pouring warm water on my covers. As the warmness seemed to spread further, the overwhelming stench of urine filled the room. And then I knew what was happening. This person, or rather this thing on top of me, was urinating on me. I could feel it soaking through not only my bedsheets, but my pyjamas, as I still couldn't move. And then, just like before, I blinked and it was daytime again. I sat up with a start, but my brother was already up and stood across the room. He looked at me and asked what I was doing, and out of embarrassment, I suppose, I lied and said nothing. For years, I told no one about this. Whether it was a nightmare or genuinely something supernatural, I don't know. All I know is that I refused to return to the house. My mum's auntie sold it a few years back, and I was glad to hear when she did. Later on, as an adult, when I finally did tell my mum about it, she claimed the same thing had happened to her cousin when he was a boy. She asked him about it, but he said he didn't know what she was talking about. That part was always strange. Anyway, I don't know if this is the type of thing you might be interested in. It could, of course, just been the overactive imagination of a child in a spooky house, or it could have been something far more sinister. I guess we'll never know. I have tried to research, but there is nothing to be found, and in all truth, I've always been a little afraid to truly delve into it. I hope you enjoyed my story. Thank you for taking the time to read it. I can't wait to find out what happens next in your show, and I will be eagerly listening, trying to put those pieces together myself. Keep up the good work. Yours truly, Andrew Berniston. Thank you for joining me for this mini-ep. Remember, main episodes are released every other Saturday. To get in touch and share your thoughts, please search @folklore_pod on Twitter or find our official Facebook page. If you've enjoyed the show, please like, share and subscribe and give us a review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you found us to help us reach even more listeners. You can also join in the discussion over on our official Folklore Facebook group. Or you can support the show and help make magic happen over on Patreon. And in exchange, you'll get access to all kinds of exclusive content, including some behind-the-scenes snippets, bonus stories, and extra interviews.